From Capital Broadcasting Company and WRAL.com, this is The Wrap at NC Capital.
Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of The Wrap. I'm Laura Leslie, WRAL Capital Bureau Chief.
I'm Travis Fain, WRAL State House Reporter.
And they're finally back, sort of, kind of, barely-ish. A little bit of action today. Tomorrow's looking like a pretty light day. But in the meantime, though, there's a couple of pretty significant tax-related bills that are working their way pretty quickly through both the House and the Senate. Now, you covered the tax cut package in the Senate, which is real similar to the one that was in the House budget, but there's been some changes to it.
Yeah, and it kind of some substantial ones. Senate Bill 622 is the bill here. It's the franchise tax rollback going from $1.50 per thousand net value down to $1 over 2 years. Pretty big business tax cut. Some other movement too. The standard deduction would go up a little bit.
A little bit. But there's online taxes coming.
There are a number of changes. What happened today, though, is in rules, some language was put in that adds to the definition in state code for a holding company. And my understanding of what that is it's going to save Reynolds American about $4 million a year. The way it's explained to me is it's fixing a double tax. So you might say, well, wait, why is Reynolds American, Fortune 500 company, not mentioned before that they're getting double tax? Well, what I'm told is it came out of the 2015 purchase of Lollard, and then in 2017, British Tobacco, purchased Reynolds American. And so as the money moves up through the corporate structure, it's taxed a second time.
Okay.
And that is the impetus for this language that, like I said, would save the company about $4 million.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so we'll watch that on the floor tomorrow. Also on the Senate floor tomorrow, the same bill, some language is going to come out that there were some people saying might have been bad for linemen and other utility workers who come in from out of state to help after a natural disaster. There's a whole portion of that bill, that tax bill, that's meant to make it easier to kind of like grease the wheels. So
they don't have to report personal income here in the state. They wouldn't have to, the employers wouldn't have to pay the workers' comp tax with the days that their workers from out of state were here in the state, that sort of thing.
Concern was, though, if someone gets injured, they would not be able to draw from the workers' compensation system in North Carolina. That was a concern for some people. Senator Newton, who is one of the sponsors of this bill, said, look, that's not the intent here. And at the end of the day, just said, look, we're just going to take it out on the floor tomorrow. We're going to take that language out. Not the whole thing. There will still be the section where not paying income taxes, et cetera. But the workers' comp section that was causing some concern for people.
Right.
Supposed to come out tomorrow on the Senate floor.
The other tax bill we've been watching today was on the House side, and this one also moving very rapidly. Came into finance this morning, through rules this afternoon, and had its first vote on the House floor this afternoon. So I wonder if it's going to be in the Senate budget, maybe. Anyway, what this would do is it would take the quarter cent that counties are allowed to add to their sales tax with voter approval. They still have to go to the voters first. It would take that quarter cent they're allowed to add for transit and allow them to use it for education instead. And the reasoning here is pretty logical that, you know, a lot of these rural counties where their populations are dropping, they don't actually need transit, but they may need more money for teacher supplements, for example, or for school construction. And, you know, in a lot of these counties, especially the ones toward the east, the property tax rates are super high because they don't have a tax base. That's the only way they've got to generate money for the county operations and for schools. So this would possibly take a little bit of the pressure off of that as well. Now, what's interesting to me is in years past, this sort of thing has been tried. And every time somebody brings up a local option sales tax statewide, everybody has sort of gone, well, not everybody, but the anti-tax folks have sort of just shut it down, right? There was no debate today in the committees or on the floor. It's like everybody's sort of now on the same page of, you know what, it's up to the counties if they want to do this. And I'm sure they're hearing from counties that they need some way to create this revenue for these counties that, you know, really need the money for schools.
Interesting. It could be used for operating expenses, not just capital expenses, right?
All of it.
Yeah. Interesting. Governor Roy Cooper had the public event today. He met with OBGYNs and pediatricians to talk up Medicaid expansion. I believe this was like his first public event since he had back surgery.
He was upright?
He was standing, talking, sitting. It said he's still in a little bit of pain, but it's better than before the surgery. So talked to him a little bit. And he also said, denied calling for Kim Strack's ouster over the State Board of Elections. I'm sure he remember, on Monday. She was removed by Cooper's appointees. I asked him several times if he or top leaders in his administration communicated to his appointees that they wanted her gone in favor of the new person that's going to be put in. And each time he said, I didn't do that. Now, the word I might be doing a little heavy lifting there.
Yeah.
Because you would think that...
I can't imagine them making that change without at least giving him the courtesy of a heads up that we're going to do that.
Well, it has seemed to be an administration priority. I mean, the Republicans here in the General Assembly had kept putting into bills as they had this power struggle
that
back and forth with
fire
Cooper.
Her.
Yeah, that she couldn't be fired. So it was clearly an administration priority to remove her. But the governor saying that he did not
personally,
he did not call his appointees and say, "Hey, pull that trigger, please."
You know, it was interesting to see the pushback after that happened the day before yesterday. The Democratic Party, Wayne Goodwin, put out a memo or a news release basically accusing Strack of having protected Republicans for these 19 years that she's been there, with absolutely no evidence of anything like that having happened. And then saying, you know, that she could, you know, she needed to go because she's married to the lawyer for the Republican Party. And the Republicans came out and said, gee, that's kind of sexist, don't you think? I don't know. I will say that I think if it had been the other way around and the husband was working for the Board of Elections and the wife was working for the party, I don't think we would see this assumption that the husband would be automatically biased by his wife's job.
You may well be right about that. I will say that when I first started, you know, when I came back to North Carolina, I was writing, that's one of the many lawsuits that we have here in this state.
Yes, so many.
It took me a while to really accept that, yes, you know, Phil Strack, the main attorney for Republicans on gerrymandering on voter ID, yes, she is married to the head of the Board of Elections. So that is weird.
Okay.
That.
However.
The bad blood seems to go back a long time. Yeah. I had one Democrat pointing to the investigation into former Governor Bev Perdue's use of campaign plane.
Right.
And how that was pressed. And I guess Phil Strack was general counsel at the state Republican Party then, and there was some question as whether she would recuse herself. But yeah, it was like pulling teeth to get Democrats to give any sort of specifics mm-hmm. about why Kim Strack needed to be removed from the State Board of Elections.
Well, it's a political appointment, and she got there via political appointment, and that's kind of how these things usually work. So, I mean, all the outrage aside, this is really not an abnormal process, but I think it just sticks out right now just because of the situation we're in, having, you know, I mean, just yesterday, this happened on the eve of the 9th District special election primary, right?
Yeah.
After this big investigation that she spearheaded, into the improprieties of ballot handling there. So, it did seem, could it be maybe not the best timing ever?
She was in Bladen County during the meeting, too.
Of course she was, because that's her job. Anyway, okay, so we should mention also, seeing that I just did, that the CD9 was last night, and Dan Bishop won commandingly. It's 47-48% over Stoney Rushing with about 19 or 20. Everybody else was barely in the showing. So they have at least avoided a runoff for themselves. And that special election will take place in September, after which point they will immediately have to begin campaigning again for the next year.
Yeah, and as was pointed out to me earlier today, you know, by having it in September, you're not up against the Democratic turnout that might come from some Charlotte City Council elections. So that may help Bishop there. He must have been pretty confident because he had a commercial ready to roll out against McCready this morning that looked like it took more than, 24 hours to make. So,
I don't think anyone's ever accused Senator Bishop of a lack of confidence. So.
Tomorrow, the House has just got the one committee meeting that's going to talk about redistricting those four districts.
Yeah, remember the court? That was the one that the court said that lawmakers, when they went in and started tinkering with districts the last time they redrew the maps, which was number two or three, I think, they said they shouldn't have messed with those four districts because those four districts were not touching the other ones that did need to be redrawn according to the state.
I'm not going to try to go by memory on one of these gerrymandering lawsuits that we just cannot. I cannot keep up with all of
them.
Not to mention,
I mean, how many times we got to redraw Wake County?
It's
the
four
school
districts.
Board, the commissioners, it's
four districts in Wake County. They're going to talk about it tomorrow. The speaker said he didn't expect a bill to come out, so just discussion only in committee tomorrow for the House. So that process continues, as I'm sure it will. Roughly forever, since we're going to redraw them all in 2020 anyway.
Exactly.
Or 2021, I guess.
Maybe next year will be the 1 year we don't have new maps being done somewhere. The other big event here today, and it was big, was the Historically Black Colleges and Universities Lobby Day. So we had members of the Divine Nine sororities. We had students here. We had advocates here, all talking about the state's historically black colleges and universities and the important role that they play, not only statewide but nationally. Did you know, at least according to what I was told in a press conference by Elizabeth City State student Erica Johnson, that more than 50% of black professionals come through historically black colleges and universities? And that's kind of amazing when you stop and think about the fact that only about 1 in 5 African-American baccalaureates come from those. But those schools are sort of an incubator for the black business community, lawyers, teachers, judges, engineers, researchers, scientists. A lot of them have come through those schools. And so the schools, a lot of times, not funded to the same level that the other schools in the UNC system are. And so, they're asking for those and, of course, for, some other things to help sort of get them to an even playing field with the other institutions.
Yeah, there was something broke out on the House floor a week or two ago as part of the budget process where there were complaints about ag money, I believe, mm-hmm. tied back to the Cooperative Extension Service that NC State...
It did. Around $100 million at NC State going for ag research and cooperative extension, and NCA&T did not get any such appropriation, even though NCA&T does the same thing. They're both land-grant schools, so they have the same mission, mm-hmm. but one gets funding to do that and the other one doesn't.
Yeah, and I mean, HBCUs, they can have an impact beyond the African-American community because you may think, well, in this day and age, do we need that? But companies really value diversity. And I've talked to some business leaders who say, out-of-state companies will look at North Carolina more closely because we have this tradition of HBCUs. We have all these. We have more than anywhere else in the country, apparently.
10 of them.
And so it is an actual draw, an economic driver in ways that you may not immediately consider.
Absolutely. There are a couple of bills in the Senate looking at adding some more money into some of these schools. It's hard to say whether or not they'll show up in the budget, but it sounded today in the press conference as if Senate leadership had made it pretty clear to the members of the Black Caucus in the Senate that there would be money in the budget to address some of those needs.
Speaking of money and budgets...
The budget.
Well, let me talk quickly about this ABC contract, because this is a weird one. So a few months ago, the state auditor did a report where they said, we think there was $14 million wasted in this liquor warehousing and delivery contract. So the state has, brings in a company, it's called LB&B.
Sure.
And they ship liquor all over the state, and they get paid to do that, of course. They get bailment fees, which means...
money.
Yeah, I mean, it's not tax money. It's
right.
The money that we spend on liquor.
Right.
So that's an $8 million contract a year. They just recently increased that contract, even though the state auditor's office had said that we don't think you did a good job of being careful and keeping that contract in check, and we think you have too much warehouse space. Well, it turns out that according to ABC, this company has been moving liquor essentially for free for years.
The contract doesn't cover what they do.
They had agreed to a flat $8 million fee to move 333 loads of liquor a month.
Okay.
And they were moving significantly more than that. In April, it was about 115 loads more than that.
Wow.
So now they're going to get $2,000 for each load that they move beyond the 333 that they get the $8 million for. So it turns into, you do the math and make some assumptions. It's more than $10 million total, so a $2 million plus increase. Leaving the question, though, well, wait a minute. If it was a wasteful contract, how is it that we need to increase it, and why were they doing the work for free? Couldn't get answers to that. I'm afraid the company wouldn't engage with me on it.
Contract oversight, as long as I've been in this state since 2004, contract oversight at ABC has never been a strong suit.
Well, and so. they've turned over leadership a couple of times.
Just a couple.
In recent years, too.
So coming up, not next week, but the week after, in the Senate, we are told we are going to see the budget. We're told we're going to see some details of it coming out on the Monday night of Memorial Day. Thanks.
Or maybe the next morning.
But we'll the press conference is supposed to be coming up the next morning, and so we should get a better look at what the Senate is up to.
Yeah, and the idea is to have votes that week after Memorial Day. And
get it into conference.
Move it on quickly to the governor's desk.
Well, it's good to have stretch goals, right? Because it's still got to go through conference first. Anyway, I think that is just about it for the day. Tomorrow we're going to be watching, as I said, that redistricting and those tax bills moving, and we will catch you up on all of that tomorrow night here on The Wrap.
This podcast is a production of WRAL.com, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. If you like the show, we'd appreciate you giving us a review and sharing it with your friends. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening app.